You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. The following was supposed to have taken place on Valentine's Day, but she evaded my show, and she was in Oahu, is that right? What, which of the Hawaiian islands?
We were on Oahu, but I came back in time. I just was in an accident the Sunday before, and I couldn't think straight, and there is no way I wanted to sit here with you when I couldn't think straight.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, or anybody on radio, not just me. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. We do talk about everything in life. One of my great all-time favorite subjects is differences between men and women. It is pretty rare to find somebody who understands the opposite sex as well as this woman does. And in this case, it's even rarer, I think, for a woman to understand men. I think, although Freud said he didn't understand, he understood the human condition, he still didn't know what women wanted. Having said all of that, I think it's still easier for a man to understand women than vice versa. The male nature is so different, and in any event, after all, we all start out as female. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that? Oh, Sean, did you know that? Oh,
it doesn't last.
Why didn't
long
I know
though.
That till last week? I feel silly. I feel. Oh, you didn't know till last week either. Oh, good. Okay, that's why men have nipples. Did you know that? Because we start out as embryos as female.
Yes.
That's what did. Does nobody care? You're all looking at me like Dennis. Go on with the show. That's the look I'm getting from Alan.
It's actually been shown that men can be made to lactate if necessary.
Oh God, that is charming. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Okay, let's move on. Now. So maybe that's why, because we already begin with something female, but the female never gets some of the stuff that we guys get. Whatever the reason, I think that men are a bigger riddle to women. Has nothing to do with women's intelligence. It has to do solely with the fact that men are so different. All of this is a compliment to you, Alison Armstrong, my guest, who was supposed to be on February 14th, but for your reasons, which I accept. The teacher accepts your absence note. And Alison Armstrong, this is the seventh time, is that right? The seventh time on my show. That is, it's the second, I think, just to Steve Marmer. I think it's an amazing record. Although we should find out Michael Ledeen has been on. It'd be interesting who's been on the most. Alison Armstrong is co-founder of Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women Seminars. And she's author of Keys to the Kingdom. I advise everything she has done on a CD. I don't even say tape anymore. You notice that? Tapes, that's it.
They're out.
That's goodbye to tape. By the way, that is a good example of where technology spares the environment. There's no environmental damage done with digits. Everything digital is environmentally precious. No enough to have no more vinyl for records and no more whatever went into tape. Alan, you don't care about the nipple issue. You don't care about the tape issue. Somebody hide him. Alison Armstrong, welcome to the program. And we talk about men and women a great deal. We are now told, and this statistic is nonsense. I have a stupid screen in front of you. We are told now that for the first time that there are more women living alone than with a man. Is that correct? Or is it more unmarried women than married women? They're not the same thing living alone. Is this a trend? And if it is a trend, is it something that goes against women's desires? Or are women saying, you know, I men are nice, but frankly, a job is really nice. A pet is terrific. I get unconditional love from my cat. How do you see this taking place? What is your view of it?
Well, first I have to say that I completely disagree with you that men understand women more than women understand men.
That's fair.
And I used to think what you think because men cut women more slack. Like you treat us more as a mystery instead of assuming that we're just misbehaving. which is what women do. We think you're a hairy woman and you're just misbehaving. We don't know you're a completely different creature and we can't even imagine the way you think, which is much more accurate. But I've been teaching men for the last 2 years to understand women, and their eyes get so big. They're just like, oh my gosh, I had no idea there was such a big difference, because women are not a version of man. We're not a version of you. It's not even, we don't even have our feelings in the same location in our body. That's how different men and women are. Where we experience happiness, which is, you know, one of your fortes, we don't even have that feeling in the same part of our body. That's how different men and women are. But back to your question, I think there's a couple things going on with women being alone. One is that one has to do with just not being willing to put up with men. Because we don't understand you, because we literally cannot even see you, and we interpret all your behavior from what it would mean if a woman did that, and if a woman did what men do, it means you don't love us, you don't care about us, and you never think about us. So women interpret men's behavior that way, which creates a lot of hurt feelings. And so there's that element of why we're single. There's another element of that. For a man to commit to a relationship, you know, most men want to get married. And if you ask them, you know, do you want to get married? They say yes. And then they always finish it with, to the right person. If I meet the right person, when I meet the right person, hopefully I'll meet the right person. And the problem is, in our culture for the last 30, 40 years, what a woman has been taught about herself and how to be and how to value herself has literally turned her into not the right person from a man's point of view. So there's two sides of it. There's the not being willing to put up with what women used to be put up with when they weren't financially independent. And then there's this side of actually not being what men are looking for in a partner.
Okay, let's develop number two. We've heard a lot through the ages of things that women put up with, from his socks lying around to drinking too much beer or whatever it might be,
right.
or not hearing her, to be more serious. What are women manufacturing themselves into that renders them non desired as much by men?
Okay, there's 12 things.
Oh, is that all?
Yep, there's 12 things, and we could spend more time on a couple of them or go through all of them, but so just stop me when you want to say more.
You know them by heart?
Probably.
Wow.
Probably. I wrote the manual has them in them. One thing is, this is huge, just huge. The right person for a man is a woman who lets him feel like a man, a woman who's not emasculating him too much. You guys are amazingly resilient, and there's a certain amount of emasculation that you're willing to tolerate. You kind of just think it's part of life, but that amount decreases as a man matures. So a man in his 30s, in the stage we call prince, will put up with a lot more emasculation than a man who's what we call a king. He's like, I'm not interested in that. I'm out of here. So the right person is someone who doesn't emasculate him too much.
Can you give a couple of examples of emasculating behavior?
Why'd you do that? Why'd you put that there? Can't you do anything right? Dennis, what do you mean you don't know what I want for my birthday? If you were paying attention to me, you would know what I want for my birthday. Not this again. Haven't we talked about the socks before? Hello, can't you do anything right? Mm-hmm. Probably a little too familiar for some people. I mean, we criticize, we complain, we have problems we won't let you solve, which is very emasculating because you're a compulsive problem solver, but we won't let you touch ours. We're unhappy on principle. Like we think if we withhold our happiness, you'll work harder to get it, which is the opposite of what happens. If you can't make us happy, you go away. Go look for someone you can make happy. But that's another way that women emasculate men. We compare you to another man unfavorably is another way that we emasculate men. It's all in the realm of just not ever letting anything you do be good enough for us.
Hmm. 1-8-PRAGER-776, talking to a truly gifted woman in the area of understanding the other sex, Alison Armstrong, and her own sex for that matter. 1-8-PRAGER-776. That's only one of 12 reasons that women may become less desirable in our time. We'll be back in a moment. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here on a program where we talk about everything in life. And I was supposed to have this woman on Valentine's Day, but instead we're having, what is today's date? March what? 6th? March 6th already. So we're having Alison Armstrong on now. It's the seventh time she's on the show. I have tremendous admiration for her insight into men and women, and especially into men, which is atypical for either sex to so understand the other sex. Alison Armstrong is co-founder of Celebrating Men. Is it celebratingmen.com, or what is your website, or is there no longer a website? Or?
Oh, yeah, we got a fancy website.
And what is it called?
Understandmen.com is the easiest way to get there.
Not understanding. That's what got a lot of people tripped up.
We actually have them all now, so they can can put Celebrating Men in, Understand Men, Understanding Men.
Okay.
They'll all get there.
Thank God. Otherwise, I get so many emails. I couldn't find it. Now, so we were talking about this question of women. A lot of women today are rendering themselves not desirable by men. And I'm sure women would argue that a lot of men are making themselves undesirable. We're leaving that aside for now. And you were saying that there is an almost a chronic emasculating behavior of vis-a-vis a lot of men. You do nothing right, basically. And for a man to be told you do nothing right is emasculating, because we are here to do what's right.
Yes.
We're very machine-like. Give us a task, and we want to do it, and we want to do it well.
Yep.
And
you want to figure out on your own how to do it.
Oh, that's right. That's,
you don't
want
to
right.
be told how to do
especially,
it, which is
especially not by a woman.
Yeah, so it's another way we emasculate you. We tell what, you how
now,
to do
now,
it.
All right, so let's go deeper. You are deep, so let me ask you: what is in it for a woman
to emasculate a
yes.
man? Well, there's a couple different sides of it. One side of it is because women can't see men, because a woman looks at a man and sees a hairy woman. So she expects him to act like a woman. She expects him to know what a woman would know. And if you don't act like a woman and you don't know what a woman would know, it must just be because you don't really care about me, or you're stupid, or you're intentionally trying to withhold what I need. All of these make a woman really mad, and you have to be punished. And so there's a punishment emasculation part, and that's one side of it.
Right, but let me ask the question here, because that's not – I fully agree with you. It makes perfect sense.
Okay.
But it's not rational. And she's laughing at me. There's laughter with you, and there's laughter at you. This is laughter at me. I'm prepared. I know, because I responded as such a man. But I want to go further. We all have irrationalities, but it's not rational in this sense. I would like to ask a woman. Uh-huh. Does she know any man who can meet that description of a man? And the answer is no.
Yes. Well, I was laughing because it's not rational for another reason. But no, there is, you know, there's no such thing as actually it's worse than that. When a woman does meet a man who thinks and behaves and responds just like a woman, she doesn't want him.
Yes.
He's not attractive.
Attention, one moment, 1 minute. How should I get attention, Alan? with what? Alan, okay, here we go. attention. There is a movie called Bedazzled, I've seen both versions. They're both great. But the more recent version has a scene exactly like this. A guy, and he sells his soul to the devil.
Yes, I've seen it.
It's terrific. I know this movie almost by heart. And he sells his soul for the devil in order to get this woman that he fancies at work. He's crazed about her.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of his seven requests, he asks to, because he read her diary. And in her diary, the devil got him into her bedroom unseen to read her diary. And it said, I want a sensitive man who will understand my needs and understand me. So he becomes literally the most sensitive man in the world. The devil makes that possible for him.
Yes.
And she then opts for the guys who kick sand in his face and just want to take whisk her away for God knows what.
Yep. Yep.
I'll tell you what I don't understand. As a man, I totally admit the limitations here are my masculine nature. Fine. But my masculine mind says, don't women understand that is not the man that they want? Do we men have such self-destructive desires vis-a-vis women? I'm asking you, this is not a rhetorical question. In other words, what you're saying is women want a man that if they got, they would reject. Is that true for men too?
Well, if you want to take the bedazzled example, what you really have to distinguish here, you would call it rational, I'd call it intelligent or wise or thoughtful, and then there's instinct. And instinct's ancient, and it's in every cell of our being, and all it cares about is the survival of the species and that your genes carry on. So in the case where he sold his soul to the devil, men do that all the time. And what drives it is too much sexual attraction. When a man is highly physically attracted to a woman, he will try to be and present himself as whatever it takes to get her. Mm-hmm. Women do the exact same thing. When we call it chemistry. When we have great chemistry, we will turn ourselves into a pretzel to be whatever it is that we think you want. And we completely lose ourselves in the process. And it's not sustainable. It's really, you can't carry it on for very long, and the whole relationship just blows up. Now, when we talk about the right person and being the right person for a man and how women have become not desirable to men, it's not that we're not desirable sexually. I mean, women have more information than they've ever had to be desirable to men sexually, you know, to work our bodies out and dress them up and show them off. And I mean, we drive men crazy with our overt sexuality. But the 12 things are the 12 things that make a woman desirable as a lifelong partner. And that's what men marry. They marry a lifelong partner, someone that how she is, that's a life they want forever. They don't want her to change. They want her to be just like that. And the thing that I laughed about don't women know, you know, about emasculating men, what makes emasculating men so irrational is because women don't know the effect of it. They just have this knee-jerk, you should be punished reaction, or the other reason we emasculate is from fear. Testosterone is frightening to us, and when you guys are really full of yourselves, we take you down because we don't trust you. We don't understand how protective you are and how much you want to provide for us and how much you love us. So we freak out and want to take you out. But mostly it's irrational because we don't realize the rage we're causing and the distance we're causing by emasculating men. So I hear the music. We can come back to it.
We will, and we will indeed. Alison Armstrong, celebratingmen.com, understandmen.com, understandingmen.com, not understanding men, misunderstandingmen.com, misunderstandingmen.org.
AlisonArmstrong.com.
AlisonArmstrong.com. We'll be back. 1-8-PRAGER 776. Dennis Prager here, and I welcome you to the program. And you know, one of the many reasons I so enjoy talking to Alison Armstrong, you make me think. The compliment that I get from many listeners, which is a wonderful one, I make them think, you make me think.
Thanks.
That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And one of the things that you do is convince me further, it's because this is a theme that I have developed in speaking to people about these subjects. It is an almost infinitely complex area, male-female relations. You know what the wonder is? The wonder is, in all seriousness here, and this, because we kid around a lot, but this is hugely serious. It is not a wonder that many marriages don't work out, whether or not they divorce. It is not a wonder. It is tragic. It is a tragedy. It is a wonder that many do.
Yeah. given where we start in not having a clue who the other person is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, wait, but wait, it's worse than that. This is what you have made me even more aware of. It's not only that we don't understand the other sex, we don't understand our own sex.
True.
We don't always know why we are acting or reacting in the way we do to the other sex.
Yes.
Because we follow instinct.
Yes.
This is the way we act. Men don't know until they're told, I'll speak as a man here. We don't realize, I mean, as soon as you tell it to us, we immediately identify with it. We are problem solvers.
Yes.
I mean, so there's the old story that the wife has a headache, and he says, oh, honey, I'll get you the aspirin. But most women, not all, but most women want to first have empathy with her headache, then find out what the solution is. Is that fair to say?
Yes, and women would further go to say that, at least these days, with the masculinization of women, I want you to respect my ability to solve my own problems. Thank you.
Right, but nevertheless, there was still enough feminine in them to want you to react.
And feel sorry for me that I have this problem.
Yes, exactly, but I'll solve it.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So he is reduced to not solving and having to further estrange himself from his own male nature in just being Mr. Empathy.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard. The expectations that women have for themselves are impossible and literally killing us. And the expectations that women have of men are impossible and demoralizing men. And it's just a misunderstanding. It's so easily cured with some accurate information.
That's right. And that is why, though I have no stock in your enterprise, none whatsoever, I so endorse it. And it is Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women Seminars, and the book Keys of the Kingdom. And it is on it's all over the internet, Understand Men, understandingmenetc.com. Now, we were talking about the emasculating men through a form of criticism that is often given to tell men if you can't, you just don't. A generalized statement of their unworthiness, right?
Yeah, or something, you know, why don't you bring me flowers anymore? I mean, a woman will make a statement like that. You don't bring me flowers anymore. You don't make love to me enough. And it's critical and emasculating to a man, but a woman does it not knowing that it's just going to create distance, because that's when you criticize a man, he keeps his distance. So there's an immediate loss of intimacy.
Okay, so hold on. Forgive me.
Yeah.
But what if he deserves a form of criticism, and everybody does deserve some form of criticism? What does she do? Keep her mouth shut? Say it in a different way? What does she do?
Well, it's much more effective if instead of criticizing it, which is like a lifeguard yelling, don't run, right? Much better to say what she wants instead of what she doesn't want. So if she tells him what she needs and the difference it would make in her life and asks him if he needs anything from her to be able to provide it, it's offered and delivered so much more quickly without any of the alienation that criticism
causes.
So
in other words, I love when you send flowers.
Yeah, I love
it. I just want you to know, I just love it.
Well, easy way to think about it is anything a man gets points for, he's going to do again, because you guys want to win. You want to score.
Awesome. Awesome. Back in a moment. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. Just got a text message from a male friend who wants his lady friend to hear everything that was said here. So it's a real compliment to you, Alison Armstrong, of Celebrating Men, Understanding Men, Understand Men, etc. at all.com, and her book Keys of the Kingdom. This is a brilliant woman, and she has major insights in this area. She's gifted, and I learn, and it makes me think. And let me take a couple of calls. Then I want you to continue. We got to one of the 12 items that you wanted to raise, and just to give people an idea. In Wyandotte, Michigan, it's William. Hi, William. Dennis Prager and Alison Armstrong.
Hi, Dennis. Hi, Allison. Dennis, when I heard Allison given her examples of emasculating comments, I couldn't help but think back to my own marriage. I was married to a woman that did that constantly, not realizing how it affected me. And I know I'm not the only one now that felt that way. I thought there was something wrong with me. And when I tried to explain it to her, she would just tell me, oh, you're too thin-skinned. It's your pride. It's your ego. Eventually, it ended up killing a three-year marriage. I mean, at 55 years old, she's right. I wasn't willing to tolerate it anymore. And an otherwise beautiful, talented, attractive woman, I didn't even want to be around anymore because I didn't feel like I could do anything right in my own home. So I started to pull away, like she said. I would go hang out in the garage. I'd go mess with the computer. You know, Dennis, you talk about men fighting their nature. This would be a good place, I think, for women to start. And thank you. I love your program, Dennis.
Thank you. There's a heartfelt, did you hear? I mean, that's from the heart, man. That was...
Yeah. And the sad thing is that she had no idea how it was affecting
now,
him.
Now, you had a theory on this that you mentioned off the air, which is very rare for me to talk to a guest off the air. It's another rarity with you because I don't want anything said that may not be said again. But you made a point about why she doesn't understand the effect of this criticism. Go ahead.
Well, women and men are motivated very differently. And the way that I describe it is that men are internally motivated, meaning that you have to be compelled or inspired from within yourself. And women are externally motivated. So we're pulled by the needs and the preferences and the desires of all the people around us. And we'll become whatever it is that is valued in a family, in an organization, in a relationship. We'll literally become it. And it's a source of our success in business in the last 50 years. We're the master adapters. And one of the ways that we change is through criticism. So the comment I made before the break, if you said to a woman, you know, if a woman said to another woman, you don't bring me flowers anymore, the woman would start delivering flowers. Now, she would resent it because she wasn't inspired to do it. It wasn't a gift, but she would do it because criticism changes us. Criticism tells us how we must adapt in order to succeed. And because it changes us, and you're just a hairy woman, I assume my criticism will change you. So what's heard by a man just as an attack, what was the point of that attack? Ouch. As a woman is actually meant as a communication to get you to change. And she doesn't know that it doesn't work that way with men.
And what about vice versa? A man criticizing a woman. Very few men will criticize women.
Well, most men have learned that doesn't go well. Women.
Well, then it doesn't go well for either sex.
It doesn't go well for either sex, but for different reasons. It doesn't go well to criticize a man because he's internally motivated and it won't change him. It doesn't go well for a woman because, to just give you a little insight, okay, we have a voice in our head that tells us what's wrong with us all the time. I mean, we women are so self-critical. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the millimeter about parts of our bodies, our beauty, what we should have said, what we should have done, how we should have been. I mean, we're so self-critical that your criticism, which has a bigger impact on us because you are a man, and my survival depends on you liking me because you might let the tiger eat me if you don't like me. Your criticism has so much weight, and it's always the straw that breaks the camel's back. Always. We women freak out. And what's even greater than that is if I told you what to me is a criticism, you would think, you'd go thin-skinned. You know, you'd think I was crazy. I mean, like, for a woman, if you looked at me and you go, Allison, really, that blouse? That's criticism. I mean, you don't even have to say something that you would consider harsh.
It gives you an idea of how complex it is, because if a woman said to a guy, that is the ugliest shirt I've ever seen you in, it would have no effect on him. He'd crack up.
Right? Yeah, he would consider the source. He'd consider his taste, his own taste. What does he think about it? All that stuff.
Look, I mean, Alan, is it fair to say it's impossible in your case because Susie picks out your shirts? It's inconceivable she would criticize one of your shirts. He doesn't even bother buying his shirts. So that ends that one there.
It just yielded that territory.
Yes,
take it, honey.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, though, it's almost infinitely complex because there are criticisms that men have no problem with at all.
Yes.
Because that's not emasculating.
Well, and the other thing that confuses us is there are things a man could say to you that would not have nearly the effect as if a woman said it to you. So we can't even, as a woman, I can't take my clues from watching you banter with your friends. Because
we don't banter with you.
Yeah, what? But if I try to banter with you, if I try to say to you what a man said to you, thinking that's okay because you took it okay from your friend, and then it doesn't work.
Right, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Well, that it just reconfirms my statement. It is amazing that any relationships work out.
Yeah, I think it's tremendous what people do to have it work.
Yeah. And you shall love the stranger. There is no stranger, none, like the opposite sex.
Yes.
We'll be back in a moment. Final segment, take some calls. Dennis Prager. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Want to get as many calls in as possible with this deeply, deeply gifted, wise woman, Alison Armstrong, and you can only help your life by getting her material and checking it out. In Dallas, Texas, it's Mary. Hello, Mary. You're on with Alison Armstrong and Dennis Prager. Hi.
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 I guess, are you ready for my question?
We are truly ready.
Okay. My question is, I guess basically, how do you criticize without criticizing? Because I have tried to talk to my husband about issues before, just even about my needs, or just bringing up anything, and it seems like any way I try to explain it to him, he receives it as criticism. So is there any way to bring up any issue without it being received as criticism?
Well, there is a way to do it, but you've got to do something first. And the way that I like to say it is, don't ever ask for fire until you've provided plenty of wood. So in a situation like yours, before you can start asking for things that you need, you really got to provide appreciation for what he's already providing. You've got to fill that tank. You've got to thank him for all the things that you take for granted, all the things that he does, all the ways that he provides structure and certainty and safety and security and all those, you know, whether he rubs your back or smiles at you, anything that he does for you or your children or your life, you've got to provide appreciation for it. And that fills him up. That gives him power. That has him feel like he's got extra, and he's got the space and the intention and the desire to do more for you. And then once he's got that, then you can have the conversation, honey, this is what I need. This is the difference it would make in my life. And then you've got to ask this question, because if you don't ask this question, it's not a partnership. It's just a demand. You've got to say, what do you need to give me what I need? That is the critical, critical question in that scenario. And you have to be willing that he's going to say something that he needs that is unthinkable to you, because a woman would never need it.
Let me just summarize, not even summarize. I will tell you, as Eva has put them down, what you have tapped here. Tom in Chicago: when my wife criticizes me, which is often, I withdraw.
Yep.
But when I seldom criticize her, she bites my head off. Dave in Minneapolis. And this 39-year-old, these are not old people.
Right.
How can I get my wife to stop emasculating me? And it goes on and goes on. Well, there is insight available through all of your work. Alison Armstrong, CelebratingMen.com, UnderstandingMen.com, and her book, Keys to the Kingdom. Thank you, Alison.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Ultimate Issues Hour coming up.